Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined today by the dynamic duo. It's Derrickson Debro and Andrew Erickson. Guys, we have kind of been dunking on each other, for lack of a better word, in the last couple of minutes. So I'm really excited to see how the show goes. Debro, I just chatted with you yesterday. Erickson, how was your 4th of July?
It was rainy. It rained a lot on the 4th of July, which is very depressing because now that we're back at work, grinding away on these fantasy football rankings, cheat sheets, it's like 95 degrees outside. So a great day to be great.
Yeah, torrential downpour here in Denver during 4th of July. So that was super disappointing. We will forge ahead here for today's show. We're talking about some players that the rankings currently have wrong. This is based off the half PPR expert consensus rankings coming from analysts all over the industry. So it's not just the Fantasy Pros guys. And you two are going to be telling me which players the rankings are currently wrong on. We sit here early July. These are obviously subject to change. But as of right now, here's what we're thinking. We're going to start with Erickson giving us the players he's higher on than ECR.
Start with quarterback Geno Smith. Look, he is quarterback 15 in the ECR rankings, which I just don't understand. 20 starts for the Seahawks over the past 2 years, averaged over 20 fantasy points per game. He's essentially the Boomers version of Ryan Tannehill, where nobody wants to buy in. We want to see a bigger sample size when I think Geno Smith has shown enough that he can deliver a low-end fantasy QB1 season. With Jaxon Smith-Njigba now added to this offense, I don't understand how he doesn't return value where he's being drafted. And I'm drafting him over Tua. So, I mean, that's how I feel about Geno Smith. So Cam Akers, my running back that I think I'm higher than the consensus on. So he's RB22 in the ECR ranks in ADP. Look, this guy was the RB4 during the final 6 weeks of the year, led the NFL in rushing yards per game. They're already talking about how he's going to be the number one running back for their team and play a central role in the offense. And it's not just lip service, because we've already seen Sean McVay do this. Like, they did it last year. So it's not, oh, this is what's going to happen, we've never seen it before. It's, hey, I'm the head coach, I decide who plays, and I'm deciding that I don't hate Cam Akers this year. So yes, Cam Akers as a low-end RB2, I think is bonkers, especially with the competition he's facing. Sony Michel, Mr. 2.9 yards per carry himself, please. Nick Chubb, running back. People are not high enough on Nick Chubb. He's RB5 ADP, RB6 in the ECR ranks, I believe. He was RB4 weeks 1 through 12 last year. And then his production tailed off when Deshaun Watson came back. I just don't think that those numbers and splits are indicative or predictive of what Nick Chubb is going to do in 2023. I just expect Deshaun Watson to be better. Therefore, I think Nick Chubb is going to absolutely smash expectations and have a career year. You look at the betting markets, Nick Chubb is the favorite to lead the NFL in rushing yards. And yet he's not a consensus top five running back. What are we doing here, people? And the fact that also I think we could see an expanded role in the receiving game. Jerome Ford is an unproven asset. Kareem Hunt is gone from this offense. The last time we saw Nick Chubb play was week 18 of last season. Deshaun Watson was starting. Kareem Hunt barely played. You saw Nick Chubb have a 75% snap share, which was a season high. He ran a route on 71% of the drop packs, caught 5 of 6 targets, 22% target share. He was the RB1 overall that week. So when people talk about, oh, well, Nick Chubb doesn't have the upside to be RB1, what do you mean? He did it in week 18 when he had the receiving usage, which I think he may have an expanded role here this season without Kareem Hunt. AJ Brown, wide receiver 7 in the ADP and ECR. He's wide receiver 4 last year, 8th in fantasy points per game, 29% target share. Look, I think he's being drafted closer to his floor, kind of being ranked there. I understand why some of the guys are going ahead of him, but AJ Brown is just really good. Like, he's just a dominant player. He's always been uber efficient. So when it's like, oh, well, he's probably going to regress this year. Well, why? Like, what has AJ Brown shown us? He's entering his age 26 season. He's in his uber prime. He's a yak god. So for me, I want AJ Brown as a top 5 wide receiver. Like, I feel great picking him, especially in the first and second round. Like, I love AJ Brown this year. You know, looking at how consistent he was last year, despite high target competition between Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, you had the 3rd most top 24 finishes, 2nd most top 36 finishes. And my last player here is Chris Godwin. He's wide receiver 28 in the ECR ADP ranks. He's just too cheap, honestly, with a downgraded quarterback. Like, it's baked in with Baker Mayfield as the projected quarterback for the Buccaneers. Last year, Godwin over 1,000 receiving yards. He only had 3 touchdowns. So I expect him to have some positive touchdown regression based on the amount of targets he saw in the red zone last season. He's another year removed from his ACL injury. So I think that favors him. And I think kind of mitigates a little bit the loss of Tom Brady. Remember, Tom Brady wasn't efficient last year. Tom Brady had a really low touchdown rate. And despite what everyone says about Baker Mayfield, like, Baker Mayfield was good at one point. He's shown at the NFL level that he can be a capable passer and he has weapons. Like, why can't Mike Evans and Chris Godwin make Baker Mayfield better? I mean, he wasn't going to be better in Carolina with the guys he was throwing to with the Panthers. Godwin and Mike Evans are the best 2 wide receivers that he's played with. So why can't he be better and facilitate some fantasy production, especially from a guy operating from the slot, where the best fantasy producer we've seen with Baker Mayfield was Jarvis Landry, who was a top 20 receiver in 2 seasons with Baker Mayfield. So week 4 onward, Godwin was wide receiver 11 in points per game. So I think he's just ranked too low for me outside the top 24. Or I think that's good value.
First of all, I want to mention on Geno Smith, he is highlighted also in your Sleepers for All 32 Teams article, Erickson, that you wrote a couple of weeks ago. Everybody should go check that out at fantasypros.com. It is a beast of an article with a ton of great info in there. So everybody should definitely read about Geno Smith and all the other sleepers you highlighted in there. I have to ask about Chris Godwin. When you guys sent me the list for this show, the only name that was repeated between the two of you was Chris Godwin. But Erickson had him higher than ECR and Debro had him lower. So we're spoiling sort of the end of the show here talking about Debro's. But Debro, now is the time to talk about him. What do you disagree with Erickson about Chris Godwin?
I don't know that we could possibly see a good version of Baker Mayfield on the NFL field ever again. Like, I mean, if Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore can't make Baker Mayfield better, then I don't know if Chris Godwin and a dusty version of Mike Evans can do that. So I have no faith in that Tampa Bay offense. Like, you can count me out on Rashad White. No. Mike Evans. No. Chris Godwin. Look, I've got him at wide receiver 35, and that really comes down to volume. But even that's in question. Like, we're talking about a Tampa Bay passing offense that, yeah, like, they were leading the league in passing attempts. You look at Godwin, and this is not a Godwin thing. Like, I don't hate Godwin because of his talent, because of deeper metrics, the guy is still good. But when I have concerns about the quarterback play, even being league average, and if Baker Mayfield sucks, like, I know, like, we've talked in previous shows about, okay, well, if the backup's okay, like in the case of Desmond Ridder, does he have an out with Taylor Heineke? He may not be great, but he's better. Dude, we don't even know what the hell we would get out of Kyle Trask. Like, so I'm not going to push my chips into the middle on Chris Godwin, because regardless, they're tied. Him and Mike Evans are tied to Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask. No. Erickson, I'm going to use one of your hammered on points throughout the seasons against you here. Don't we want to invest in good offenses? Is Tampa Bay going to be that?
I don't necessarily think so, but we all said the same thing about the Seahawks last year, and we're all wrong.
That's fair.
So it's fair. That's what I'm trying to make up for last year, because I basically just wrote off the entire Seahawks offense because I was like, oh, well, they're just going to suck. And then you have Tyler Lockett being drafted outside the top 30 receivers, which was just, the bar for Chris Godwin to be a good fantasy pick is not high based on where he's being drafted. Like, that's the point I'm trying to get across here. I'm not saying Chris Godwin is going to be a top 5 fantasy wide receiver. Like, no, not with Baker Mayfield. But look at the structure they have set up in Tampa Bay. Who's the offensive coordinator? The guy that was the quarterback coach for the Seahawks last year, Dave Canales. Like, Baker Mayfield, it'd be different if Baker Mayfield had never shown anything at the NFL level. But he has. Like, he's shown that he can throw over 25 touchdown passes in a single season. He's done that already. So, yes, his situations haven't been great, but we're jumping at the gun to give Sam Darnold more opportunities. Oh, well, Sam Darnold, like, finally, now he's in a situation where he can finally thrive. Maybe not you specifically, D-Bro, but...
I was like, not me.
Yeah, don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. But a lot of people are optimistic about, oh, Sam Darnold, if he gets in there, he's got Shanahan, like, a good situation. So, yeah, Baker Mayfield. I think that he has two good wide receivers now. Like, he didn't have that. You said Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore. One of those is a running back. It's not a wide receiver. It's different. So I just think outside the top 24 wide receivers, like, you want to make a bet with me, is Chris Godwin going to finish outside the top 24? I'm in on that. Are you out?
D-Bro, we just did a bet on yesterday's show too, D-Bro. Are you going to do another one here?
Yeah, I'll take it. Chris Godwin outside the top 24 in points PPR. Per game. Let's go. Yeah.
PPR.
All right. I'll take it. Let's go.
All right, very excited.
I'm not going to shy away from it. I'll back it up. Let's go. I'm not going to own the L, I'll own the L.
Yeah. Another note on Godwin, just something to keep in mind, like, another year removed from the really tough injury he had, which is just always kind of a player that I like to be interested in. Before we get to D-Bro's players that he's higher on than ECR, I want to take a moment to mention the Fantasy Pros Draft Kit. Head to fantasypros.com/kit and find everything you need to dominate draft day. That includes access to free expert rankings from Pat Fitzmaurice, D-Bro and Erickson, plus tons of other free content like position primers, round-by-round strategies, and players to both target and avoid. But premium subscribers get even more exclusive content, plus access to our Fantasy Pros Discord community, where you can engage with our analysts through AMAs, live stages events, and more. Check out fantasypros.com/draftkit for your free winning ticket to the 2023 season. D-Bro, give me some players that you are higher on than ECR.
It's in the same vein of Erickson doesn't understand why people do not like Chef Geno, and I agree with him on that. I don't understand why we're not giving enough love to Daniel Jones. He is ECR QB12, and you can get him as a QB2 in some spots in best ball drafts. I don't get it, people. Like, I have him as my QB9. He was the QB10 in fantasy points per game. And how can we not say that his situation has done nothing but improve? And everybody wants to make all the jokes about, oh, they signed about 10 slot wide receivers. They still added receiving talent to this depth chart, as well as all those guys are going to play roles. They're going to be positional matchups, and Daboll is going to put them in spots to win. They're not every one of those guys is going to be a full-time player. And really, this is giving depth and talent to that depth chart, which was needed last year. And Darren Waller is going to be the wide receiver one in this offense. Daniel Jones is going to crush this year. We saw him as a top 10 quarterback last year. Now he has more receiving weapons. Daboll opened up the offense down the stretch. And we're not giving enough respect to his name as a passer. Per fantasy points data, he was the fourth highest in highly accurate throws, which is basically hitting a guy, throwing him away from coverage, hitting him in the numbers, hitting him in stride. So he's not a bad quarterback. He just didn't have the volume last year. And I'm not telling you he's going to be top 10 in passing attempts, but we know the rushing upside is there. I don't think that is going anywhere. And this offense is going to throw more. So yes, I'm all in on Dimes this year. And I think he has top 5 quarterback upside. The next guy I got to talk about here is Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I'm not telling you people are disrespecting him, because yes, he is a wide receiver 9 in ECR, but we also need to up the ante. I've got him as wide receiver 5. I think he has a chance to be the wide receiver 1 overall this year. And I know people think that's crazy.
Until
he goes out. It's not crazy. It really is not. Because he has the ability, just like Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, to get into that upper echelon of target earning, where he can get 150 plus targets. He was knocking on the door of that last year. And from what we saw out of the Detroit Lions, they are going to throw the ball more this year. They showed us that last year. Final 8 games of the season, they were top 12 in both neutral script pace and neutral passing rate. You look at after week 10, Amon-Ra St. Brown led all wide receivers in red zone targets. Everybody, more than Ja'Marr Chase, more than Justin Jefferson, more than any other person you could put out there. Amon-Ra St. Brown can threaten for 160 plus targets this year and double digit touchdowns. If he does that, he is going to be in that top 3 conversation. So everybody can thank me after this season when you draft all the Amon-Ra St. Brown. The other two guys, or 3 guys that I got to mention here, is, one of them is Andrews Lovelist guy from last year. And I'm on the train, man. Like, and this is not me saying that I have anything against Jerry Jeudy, because I'm all in on Jerry Jeudy as well. I'm buying back into the Denver Broncos passing attack. Look, I get it was terrible last year, and I get Russell Wilson did not play well. We saw shades of the former Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited, emerge from that Nathaniel Hackett scrum at the basically for most of the year down the stretch after Hackett was out. Now you have Courtland Sutton, who it wasn't pretty last year, but that's not Courtland Sutton's fault. If we get a better version of Russell Wilson this year, Courtland Sutton is going to put up really good numbers, because if you look at his deeper metrics, the things that Courtland Sutton could control last year, he was 23rd in route win rate. He was 10th in win rate against man coverage. And even if those metrics don't sit here and tickle your fancy, per ESPN open scores over the last 2 years, he was tied for 12th. So he's getting open at a top 12 rate, tied with CeeDee Lamb. So I'm going to bake into a regression. I have Courtland Sutton as my wide receiver 37. I'm probably going to bump him up into the wide receiver 3 range, and ECR is lagging at wide receiver 42. So yes, I'm backing on Courtland Sutton this year. The other guy, again, we're talking about, he had the worst run out possible, was Diontae Johnson. And we've discussed this on numerous shows, and now social media is catching up. They're still not high enough, though. ECR has him as wide receiver 32. That is blasphemous. Absolutely blasphemous. I just put out a video the other day for the Fantasy Pros YouTube channel on my 13 undervalued players. He's number one because he should be a top 20, top 24 wide receiver. Everything screams that. He was the wide receiver 20 in expected fantasy points per game. He was first in open score last year. He got open at an elite level. So all we're talking about here is Kenny Pickett needs to take a step forward, and Diontae Johnson doesn't need to have the worst luck in all of the NFL at the wide receiver position, and he's going to pay off handedly. The last guy I want to bring up here is Gerald Everett. And I'm buying into good offenses, baby. Chargers are probably going to lead the NFL in passing attempts this year. Justin Herbert's probably going to lead the NFL in passing yards. So Gerald Everett is coming along for the ride. Dalton Schultz has done this in a Kalen Moore offense, and I'm not even going to debate people. Dalton Schultz is nowhere near the talent that Gerald Everett is. Last year, Gerald Everett was 12th in yak per reception. He was 3rd in yards per route run against man coverage, behind only Darren Waller and Mark Andrews. And you've heard me talk about that stat on this show. I want access to elite upside. Gerald Everett, I get that it is a crowded passing attack, so he doesn't really probably get into that elite tier, but can he be a top 10 tight end? You damn right. I have him as tight end 10 in my ranks. ECR has him as a tight end 2, lagging at tight end 16.
So everybody knows the receiver I'm going to ask Erickson about. Before I do that, I just want to point out that, A, I'm with you on the luck factor with Diontae Johnson and sort of regressing back to the mean. I'm not as much with you on Kenny Pickett taking a step forward, which you said he needs to do.
Ryan, your
Ravens won't let you do that.
Diontae Johnson. He's the greatest positive regression candidate of all time. Yes.
I'm not denying that. I think that's completely...
No, you just can't sugarcoat it. It's the GOAT regression candidate of all time. That's Diontae Johnson.
2021 Miles Sanders of wide receivers, baby. That's what he is.
Was it Miles Sanders the GOAT regression candidate just last year? Or is Diontae Johnson?
And he hit it.
Yeah, but that was just touchdowns.
You're
like,
making our case.
He has regression with deep targets.
My only point here is that I don't trust Kenny Pickett to take a step forward. I'm with you on Diontae
Johnson. Homer says hi. Ravens Homer says hi.
The other thing I wanted to just clarify is that when I said it's crazy, what you said about Amon-Ra St. Brown, it's not crazy that you have him aggressively ranked in the top 5. I'm with you on that. I love him. I just kind of think like Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Cooper Kupp, if healthy, like, barring injury, I just don't see another receiver like topping those guys, but he's right there in that, like, you know, next level elite tier. So it's not, I want to be clear that I don't hate Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think you're crazy for being aggressive on him, but the guy everybody wants to hear talk about is Erickson talking about Courtland Sutton. Given everything that you talked about him last year, you obviously disagree with Debro here this year. So where have you kind of landed on Courtland Sutton?
I mean, I think that his most appealing feature is he's a touchdown regression candidate. You know, he had a lot of end zone, red zone targets last year and didn't score a lot of touchdowns, as we all know, because we all drafted him because of me and Debro. Sorry about that. But for this year, I don't know what his role is going to be in this offense. Like, to be totally honest, like, I feel really good about Jerry Jeudy because we saw Jerry Jeudy be good with Russell Wilson last year, but it's a whole new coaching staff coming in. So I don't know what Sutton's role is on this offense. Tim Patrick, look, before Tim Patrick got hurt last year, which I also will use as a reason why I like Sutton more because Tim Patrick wasn't part of the offense last year, Tim Patrick is someone that you can't, he gets on the field. Like, he finds ways to get snaps, get targets. The last two healthy seasons, he's finished as a top 40 receiver. You know who hasn't done that? Courtland Sutton. Courtland Sutton has finished as a top 40 receiver one time in his five-year career. He's been 48, 47, 45, and one side inside the top 20 in his second year in the league. Basically, he's put up a DJ Chark-esque career at this point. So I like Marvin Mims a lot. So I'm just looking at the optics of the situation now. Yes, Russell Wilson is still there, but the pieces in the offense are different. The coaching staff is different. So for those reasons, I'm out on Courtland Sutton for the most part. In the wide receiver four range where he goes, I see a lot of other players that I would much rather prefer taking a shot on, younger players. Elijah Moore kind of goes in that similar range. I like him more as a breakout candidate with the Houston, or excuse me, with the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson more than I like Courtland Sutton. So that's kind of my disagreement with D-Bro. I think the Denver offense can be better, but I'm not so sure that Courtland Sutton is the reason it's going to be better.
I've mentioned this on shows with you guys before. I want to mention it again because you mentioned Tim Patrick, just in case people didn't hear those other offseason shows. I talked to somebody who covers a team who was there all summer last year, and he said Russell Wilson loved Tim Patrick. He was absolutely the apple of his eye and was targeting him at every opportunity. So if he's back and fully healthy and being utilized in this offense, I think he's severely undervalued and will maybe take away from some of the other wide receivers that people are excited about. Before we move on, it's time to revolutionize your wardrobe with Bird Dogs. These are not your typical shorts. They are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg to give you a sculpted look. For those watching on YouTube, I'm holding up a pair here. They've got all these cool designs, and they just look good when you're wearing them. Basically, they're like Lululemon shorts, but they fit way better. Bird Dogs invented cloud knit fabric so their shorts could offer an amazing slim fit without compromising on your movement. As a bigger guy, that really comes in handy for me. So say goodbye to those old stiff cotton shorts. What makes Bird Dogs even more amazing is the anti-stink, sweat-wicking fabric. Again, this is huge for me personally because I don't actually have a sense of smell. I don't know how many people actually know that about me. So having confidence knowing that my shorts are stink-free is actually huge for me. You'll stay cool and dry all day long. You can see and feel the difference. I know I do. I've tossed out all my old shorts, and now I live in my Bird Dogs, especially working from home. I wear them all day, every day. So go to birddogs.com/fantasypros and enter promo code fantasypros for a free Yeti style tumbler with your order. I've got that here again for the YouTube audience. That's birddogs.com/fantasypros or promo code fantasypros for a free Yeti style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off. We promise you, take it from me. Once you try on Bird Dogs, you won't want to wear anything else. So why wait? Upgrade your wardrobe today with Bird Dogs. I saw you guys laughing about the smell. That's an entirely true fact, by the way.
Erickson, when he mentioned about the no stink technology, did you think he's going to say something about, I don't shower, so I know it still works? Like, I swear, I thought that was going to be the transition. And I was like, oh, worm, no.
No, if anything, I shower too often because I know I can't smell, that I'm just like hyper worried about smelling and not realizing it. So please don't throw it out.
You're going to rock Bird Dogs 24/7. That's all I heard.
I already do. That's exactly the truth.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and
and a challenge champion. And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and challenge all-star.
And speaking of all-stars, All Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of challenge champion.
Listen to MTV's official challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Erickson, let's get to the guys that you are lower on than ECR.
Going to start quarterback position, Aaron Rodgers. Did you guys know that Aaron Rodgers hasn't passed for 300 yards since week 14 of the 2021 season? Well, now you do. You know, last year, two top 12 finishes inside the top 12 weekly finishes for Aaron Rodgers. I just don't understand QB 15, ECR rank. I don't get the ups. Like, what's the point? Like, he's 39 years old. He hasn't flashed any type of fantasy football ceiling over the last 2 years, essentially. And we just look at the quarterbacks that busted at the highest rate last season. Baker Mayfield, Andy Dalton, Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson, Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson. What do they all have in common? Played on new teams. So, yeah, I don't think that it's all going to be glitters as gold for Aaron Rodgers and gangrene. Next guy up here is Josh Jacobs. So he led the NFL in touches last year, but I've done some more research on this as that achievement is not necessarily super great for the following seasons. Looking at running backs since 2013 that led the NFL in touches, the following year, only two running backs have actually finished as RB1s in the following season. One of those was Ezekiel Elliott, and he finished inside the top five. One of them was LaShawn McCoy. He finished as RB12. But for the most part, they either get hurt or underwhelm dramatically. So just looking at Josh Jacobs' body of work, RB14, RB8, RB16, RB1, like last year, the planets aligned for Josh Jacobs. And he was a league winner for that, all those reasons. But I don't think it just means, okay, now this is the year to draft Josh Jacobs. Like last year was the year to draft him, and a lot of us missed out on it. But this isn't a reason to then chase the dragon of Josh Jacobs into a new season when I think the optics of the situation are somewhat different besides the backfield. Like that's why Josh Jacobs still has a high ADP and ECR rank, because you're looking at, oh, Zamir White, this Britton Brown guy, Amir Abdullah, Brandon Bolden, like a bunch of these scrub running backs. Oh, Josh Jacobs can get all the volume. Well, Josh McDaniels never features rookie running backs. So in hindsight, there was a lot of indications that the Josh Jacobs thing could have happened last year. And honestly, I kind of felt like at some points like that, but ultimately I was swayed by the group thing. As Josh Jacobs is going to be a bust. And eventually that's where I settled on my take as well. And I was wrong. But McDaniels, again, looking back, it's not surprising that Zamir White never got to play because he was a rookie running back. And with the Patriots, he never really featured rookie running backs. It wasn't until he left that we started to see more rookie running backs actually get work and playing time with the New England Patriots. So for those reasons, I'm out on Josh Jacobs at his current ranking. Next guy up here is Alexander Mattison. I'm seeing him going inside the top 20, and he goes ahead of Cam Akers, and I just don't get it. It's all projection. If you type in dead zone running back into ChatGPT, Alexander Mattison comes up, or he should come up, because this is exactly the running back you don't want to draft. He's getting boosted up because of the situation he plays in. He plays in a good offense, but he's a totally unproven running back. You know, last year was Chase Edmonds. Oh, like he's flashed at times, bust. Oh, Mike Davis. Oh, he's going to be the starting running back for the Atlanta Falcons. He's great. He was good in relief of Christian McCaffrey. Oh, sounds a lot like Alexander Mattison. Good in relief for Dalvin Cook, but never good enough to be, oh, free Alexander Mattison. Were we ever chanting for Alexander Mattison to get into the game? No. And that's why it's totally different than the Tony Pollard thing, because Pollard was earning touches while Zeke was still playing and healthy. And then he totally blew up. He blew Zeke out of the water. Never happened with Alexander Mattison. Every time Mattison got touches, we thought for a second, oh, that's Dalvin Cook. It was like, oh, wait, it's just a worse version of Dalvin Cook that's out there, because they would look similar because they both have the dreadlocks and the single digit numbers. So that's my take on Mattison. Like, he checks off all the boxes of running backs that you don't want to draft. And I get the allure. Like, people are projecting him to be the bell cow for the Vikings, but just betting on projection in round 4 just tends to be a bad bet. I'd rather draft wide receivers where he's being drafted.
But before you get players, Erickson, I just want to ask you, since you mentioned Josh Jacobs was sort of like last year's dead zone guy that you avoided, and this and it didn't work out for you, and then this year you're talking about Madison, who is the guy in the RB dead zone this year that you actually think could maybe be this year's Josh Jacobs? Maybe not to the elite level Jacobs was last year, but the guy that you might be wrong on that actually should be targeted in that range.
Same. Well, I think for me, same. I'm going to let So the market's going to change based on where ADPs kind of land with some of these running backs. So when you bring up the question of like, okay, who's going to be this year's Josh Jacobs? I'm thinking about who does the market hate the most? Like, I want the cheapest guy of these dusty veterans, whether it's James Conner. Like, if James Conner's like RB30 or something like that, I'm like, okay, sick. Like, he's a starting running back. Like, why is Alexander Madison getting drafted so much higher than James Conner, who's been a proven bell cow? You know, so it could be James Conner. Or let's say Dalvin Cook lands in a meh landing spot. He goes to Miami. They don't know. Oh, we don't know who's going to be the lead back. Okay. Dalvin Cook's outside the top 24 running backs. People are like, oh, he sucks now. I'd probably draft Dalvin Cook. You know, at one point during the offseason, I thought it would be Joe Mixon because he was going really late too. But he's seen his ADP climb back up where he will even go in like the second round sometimes. And ECR is really high on Joe Mixon. So it's probably not going to be Mixon. Mixon to me now looks more like a dead zone back. So, I think I probably actually mentioned it. Debro's actually helped me out in the chat here as I'm boggling names in my mind. It is Cam Akers.
Like, it's Cam Akers. The name that you're searching for is Cam Akers, the guy that nobody wants, and he's going in the fourth to sixth round.
ECR, and I did talk about him already. Yes. So that's Cam Akers. My mind.
All right, give me the other players you're lower on, Erickson.
Last two guys here, George Kittle. I just think that tight end four going in the top 50 overall is too high for George Kittle. Lowest yards per route run since his rookie season last year. Look, the splits with Brock Purdy look excellent, but Brock Purdy was also throwing it to George Kittle, so he was averaging 1.5 receiving touchdowns per game. Like, that's not sustainable over a long period of time. Neither is Brock Purdy having a touchdown rate that is Patrick Mahomes-esque. Like, I'm sorry, I'm just not buying into that. Those things regress. And if Purdy if Purdy's going to play more games, he's not going to throw as many touchdowns. It was unsustainable what he was doing last year. Looking at the target pecking order, George Kittle was third in the pecking order, tied with McCaffrey, behind Debo Samuel, behind Brandon Ayuk. So yeah, maybe Kittle's going to have a couple spike weeks here and there like he always does, but I just don't want to pay such an expensive price tag for that when it's so touchdown dependent as the tight end four, when I can get guys like a Kyle Pitts, a Darren Waller so much later in drafts. And then the last guy I have is wide receiver Kadarius Toney for the Kansas City Chiefs. This was what I wrote about Gabriel Davis last year. Gabriel Davis' lack of consistent target share puts him in a bucket of players that I've traditionally not taken a major leap in production in their third season. That's literally Kadarius Toney. You can just take Gabe Davis' name out, put Kadarius Toney's name in, and it's a sign of a bust player. Like, there's no consistency with Kadarius Toney's game. And I understand the allure. He's got a super high target rate when he's on the field, which is not very frequent. Like, eventually you have to convert your playing time into actual fantasy points, which Kadarius Toney just hasn't done enough of. He's played one game with a 75% snap share. One time. In the playoffs, when all I could talk about was how involved Kadarius Toney was going to be in the Super Bowl, he ran fewer than 10 routes in the game. Like, I want Sky Moore. That's who I want in this Chiefs offense. He's cheaper. I think that he's going to have a full-time role. I actually saw a video of Juju Smith-Schuster talking about wide receivers that he liked. He called Sky Moore his wide receiver sleeper on the Chiefs because he specifically mentioned that Juju was leaving the slot and that Sky Moore was going to take over in the slot there. So I think Tony's still going to be a gadget guy. They're going to probably use him like more in the Mecole Hardman mold where, okay, he's going to have a couple big weeks here and there because he's explosive. But dude, you're never going to want to start this guy. When did you ever know when to start Mecole Hardman? Nobody ever knew.
Never.
So Kadarius Toney, I'm out on.
Would you quickly, Erickson, rather have Rashee Rice at cost than Toney?
I probably actually have to. If it's between those two, I probably would have Toney.
At cost. Obviously, he's going much later than Toney.
I will. I don't want anything to do with Toney. I agree wholeheartedly with Erickson here. I mean, like, and the thing that I want to double down on Erickson's take here, per Matt Harmon's reception perception work, do we see Kadarius Toney getting, like, all these screens, like, into perpetuity, like 135, 140 screen targets? Because that's really what the bet that you're making. 31.6% of his targets last year were either in the flat or a screen. I'm sorry. Like, I want a complete wide receiver that can run a route tree. Like, because you're betting on him to get 120, 130 screen targets. Good luck.
D-Bro, let's wrap up with your guys that you are lower on than ECR.
Man, I'm all in on Deontay Johnson, and I am firmly out on George Pickens. ECR has him as wide receiver 37. People are slowly starting to wake up to the smelling salts of Deontay Johnson, because they were at one point this offseason drafting George Pickens ahead of Deontay Johnson. That is absolute drunk talk, man. Like, that's beer goggles, like three sheets to the wind. Like, you're going to be driving the toilet the next day, because it makes no damn sense to me. George Pickens is, we want to talk about boom, bust, polarizing, whatever. That's what George Pickens is. He had 6 weeks inside of the top 24 last year, but the other 8 weeks, you couldn't even freaking start him. He had eight games where he was the wide receiver 50 or worse last year, and I don't see that changing. So everybody's going to say, well, then who's going to be the number two in this passing attack? Give me Pat Freiermuth all day. He surpassed George Pickens after Claypool was out the door in target share. And I think he's a higher earning target player, where he is going to draw a higher target share. George Pickens has not proved that he can do that to this point. And Allen Robinson, Calvin Austin being there this year, they're going to go back to running a lot of 11 personnel in weeks 1 through 8, whenever they were 11 personnel heavy. And it wasn't just, okay, two wide receiver sets. George Pickens had a 15% target share, 1.1 yards per route run, and that is replacement level. The guy could barely eclipse 15% target per route run rate. I'm sorry, I don't want wide receivers that cannot earn targets. We want to talk about volume and volume being king in fantasy. If you can't earn targets, you're not getting volume. Count me out on George Pickens. The other four guys I want to bring up here, DeAndre Swift, we've talked about him a ton on the podcast. So I really don't need to rehash a lot of that. Yes, I have him as RB40 right now because there are guys I want to draft over DeAndre Swift. And if you're saying, okay, well, then who are you taking from the Philadelphia Eagles backfield? Again, if you tune into previous episodes, it's all Rashad Penny, baby. DeAndre Swift draws his ability and his worth in fantasy from his ability in the passing game. And I'm sorry, the team that does not throw to the running backs, and I don't think that's going to change because they still have incredibly talented wide receivers and Dallas Goedert there. I don't think DeAndre Swift is going to get that type of work in the passing game. And even what he did on the field last year in the early downs is immensely overrated. 64% of his games last year, he didn't even surpass 2.5 yards after contact per attempt. And for everybody listening at home, that is incredibly terrible for a player that gets ballyhooed and people talk about constantly about how explosive he is. And he's a playmaker. And well, he can't break tackles. So what? He gets what's blocked. He's got open runways and he runs fast through them. Okay, cool. That's great and grand. And yeah, Philly's got a good offensive line, but when he's asked to create on his own, doesn't do it. So I'm out on Swift. Michael Pittman, add him on top of this heap. And this is all comes down to volume. Michael Pittman has an immense talented skill set. He's an awesome wide receiver. But this Colts offense is going to be predicated on the run game. It's going to be predicated on using Anthony Richardson's legs. And Pittman, even if he draws that 25-26% target share that he had last year, with the limited amount of volume there through the air, I have a hard time envisioning him getting past like 100 to 110 targets in this offense. 110 is probably the ceiling I see for him, unless the Colts surprise us and pass more than what I'm projecting. So I'm out on Pittman. We talked about Godwin. The last guy I want to end off here, man, is Dalton Schultz. I don't want anything to do with Dalton Schultz. And this all comes down to Dalton Schultz is a product. He's been made by Dak Prescott. If you look at the splits with Dalton Schultz on the NFL field with and without Prescott, they are insanely massive. And we could say whatever we want to about Cooper Rush and Andy Dalton not being the same type of quarterback as Dak Prescott. I get that. But still, you got to earn targets. And when said quarterback goes out and you do nothing, because legit, with Dak Prescott under center, Dalton Schultz is averaging 12.1 PPR points per game. You take Dak out of the equation, and this is 15 games, people, so not like a five-game sample, 6.7 PPR points per game. That would have put him as the tight end 26 in fantasy points per game. Now we're talking about, as much as I love CJ Stroud, I think it's going to be a run-heavy offense. His PFF receiving grade, his yak per reception, and his yards per route run all dropped last year, and I get he was dinged up, but I don't see those things rebounding in Houston this year. So yeah, I've got Dalton Schultz, who ECR has him as tight end 11. No, I have him as tight end 21. I'm going to bury him in ranks. I want nothing to do with him. I will draft guys that have upside. Give me access to good offenses. I'll take Gerald Everett over him. Give me the swing on Dalton Kincaid over him. I'll take Chigakwankwo over Dalton Schultz. No way.
So no. So Debro is the outlier in terms of the Fantasy Pros experts on Schultz. The other guys, 13th, 11th, and 10th. Debro, like you just said, down at 21st. Erickson, I know you are one of the people, obviously they all are, who are higher on Schultz than Debro is.
Yeah, I'm definitely more in line with ECR on Schultz. And I mean, I would have been out on Schultz too if he was more expensive than where his current ADP. I mean, he's going in late round tight end territory. So it's all one big cluster. So Debro obviously ranking him as tight end 21. You know, obviously you're taking a big stand there, but I mean, tight end 15 to tight end 20, like it's all kind of a big tier in itself.
It's a mush.
Yeah, it's a big mush tier. So when we're looking at these tight ends, I mean, the argument for targets is enough for me. Like, I think I mentioned on one of these past shows that Darren Waller was in the same situation as Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce as being one of the only tight ends that's the first receiver drafted on his respective team. And in some formats, Dalton Schultz fits in that criteria too, because the Texans don't have any established pass catchers whatsoever on their team. Like, I like Nico Collins a lot, but he's also a wide receiver. So if Dalton Schultz ultimately becomes the number one target on the Houston Texans, which I think is in the range of outcomes, I don't think it's crazy to think if we look up, oh, he did lead the team in targets because they don't have a lot of good wide receivers. Like, that to me is like at least warranting some interest as he's a late round tight end that should at least be on your radar. Now, I thought he was originally going to be like a top eight guy, like being in that middle range, like drafted near Evan Ingram where and David Njoku, where you were actually paying a premium for him as one of these onesie positions inside the top 100 because of what he's done in the past. But you're getting the Texans discount and the fact that Dalton Schultz really isn't this uber athletic tight end whatsoever. He doesn't really create a lot of plays on his own. But for the argument of just, hey man, this guy's going to get targets. He's going to get playing time because that can do a lot for you at tight end land in fantasy. So I was originally very out on Dalton Schultz because I thought it was going to be more expensive. But I mean, if he falls to the tight end 15, 16 range, like, and I don't have a tight end yet, especially in a PPR format where you're just trying to get receptions and targets, I think Schultz is a fine option. Now, the only thing I will say too is if you want to do more of an arbitrage on Dalton Schultz, this kind of came into my mind as I was thinking about it. Hayden Hurst is kind of profile similar to Dalton Schultz, where he's on Carolina. They don't have any established receivers really either. I think they're probably a little bit better than they have in the Texans, but not by much. Hurst is always going to be cheaper than Dalton Schultz. So maybe he's kind of the way that you get access to cheap targets because Hayden Hurst doesn't have as decorated as a profile. He doesn't have as many tight end one finishes as a player like Dalton Schultz. But we saw in Atlanta when Hayden Hurst was on offense that threw the ball a ton, he was a tight end one. So he could potentially get there too.
So your pro Dalton Schultz argument is kind of like a vintage Zach Ertz argument, Erickson, if I'm reading that right.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, he's been a proven producer the last couple of years. Like, he's done it, and that matters. Like, if you look at a lot of these breakout tight ends, it's guys on second contracts, on second teams that have done it in the past, that have shown, hey, I can be a guy. And I was just surprised at how low the entire market was on him when he could lead the team in targets. And again, there's not many tight ends that could even do that, like, at all, where they're going to be buried on their depth chart, where Dalton Schultz, it's, you don't really need to paint a crazy picture where, oh yeah, he was the number one target on the Texans. Like, yeah, it could be 600 yards, but he could catch 70 passes.
Let's recap all the names here. The guys Erickson is higher on: Geno Smith, Cam Akers, Nick Chubb, AJ Brown, Chris Godwin. The guys Debro is higher on: Daniel Jones, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Cortland Sutton, Deontay Johnson, Gerald Everett. The guys we're lower on for Erickson is Aaron Rodgers, Josh Jacobs, Alexander Mattison, George Kittle, Kadarius Toney, and Debro is lower on DeAndre Swift, George Pickens, Michael Pittman, Chris Godwin, and Dalton Schultz. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Please be sure to like and subscribe to the show and leave a comment on YouTube with some other players the early rankings are wrong on. Also be sure to check out the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Draft Kit to help you dominate draft day. And of course, go buy some Bird Dogs. For Debro and Erickson, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you guys again next time. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Viosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.